Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. It's all about how to use your intuition when it comes to love. And you'll definitely want to listen to this show, listeners, and learn how to tap into your own intuition and guidance system. My guest today is Lisa Jeswin, and I'm so excited to talk to her. She has her own radio program on Empower Radio called Real Life with Lisa Jeswin. And I've been a guest a few times on her program as well. She was a fixture in Detroit morning radio for almost 23 years, sharing her positive personality and infectious laugh. Now, Lisa heard her first voice at the age of 5. And this fueled her interest in the intuitive and spiritual community and teachings. She has been a working psychic medium for almost 30 years. She also believes that it's possible to live your life with intention, peace, abundance, and joy when you choose to stay positive. And for more information about Lisa, her workshops, her readings, or her podcast, please go to intuitiveyou.net. So welcome to the program, Lisa. So great to have you with us today.
Hello, Terry.
I know.
I suppose I got to laugh right away because you said it was infectious. So
I'll laugh for you and
thank
then
you.
You'll do it as well, right?
Absolutely. Thank you, Terry. I'm very excited to be able to talk to you because we've been, you know, friends for a while, but also talking about that connection between love, finding love, keeping love, and all of that, and what it has to do with intuition, because it's all mixed in there together.
It is. And I always love talking to you because not only your energy, but your advice is wonderful. But before we get started, Lisa, on the topic of how to use your intuition when it comes to love, tell us about your journey as a psychic medium for almost 30 years. And what do you mean that you heard your first voice at the age of 5? What does that mean?
Okay. So when I was 5 years old, I was playing in the backyard and all the other kids were up front and I was over back by a playhouse that we had and I heard my name, Lisa, Lisa, and I couldn't tell if it was a male or female voice, but I heard my name. And normally a kid might run screaming when they hear someone say their name out of nowhere, but I didn't. And I kept looking around and I looked in the playhouse and I thought, I don't know where that voice is coming from, but I know I'm safe. I know that nothing's going to happen to me. It was just something innately that I felt and knew after I heard my name said. I would hear that same voice again when I was 16.
Wow.
I had a near-death experience at 16. And I was in the tunnel and there was a light. And I was going towards the light because I wanted to be in that light so bad. It was the most beautiful thing. There are no words in the human language or any language, as far as I'm concerned, that can accurately describe what the light is like. And I remember trying to push myself into the light. And I said, no more needles, no more pain. Please let me stay. And a voice said, no. And it was the same voice that I heard when I was 5 years old. And then my body kind of pushed backward. It felt like a sucking motion. And I was coming away from the light. And I could see my arms sort of flying next to me on each side. And I was devastated because all I wanted to do was stay in the light. And I woke up in ICU with, you know, tubes out of every orifice of my body and my wrists and ankles tied to a gurney. And it took me a couple days before I told people what I had experienced. And in my belief system, I believe I was in front of God. So,
wow, I have chills, by the way. I mean, I'm freezing.
Yeah, and it was listening. After that time that it was like somebody turned up the volume in my head. And I started studying about what is this? Like I had some disease or something, right? It's my intuition. Why do I know things about people when I don't even know them? And when I say I hear things, this is a really interesting test for you. So when you're in a car and you're listening to the radio, you get out of your car and you go about your day, but suddenly you still keep hearing that song in your head, even though there's no radio, right? Like an earworm. Right. That's what I mean when I say I hear. So it's not always an audible sound or voice. It's like an earworm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when I acknowledge it and understand what's being said, it then goes away. So right after the near-death experience in my late teens and early 20s, I started reading books and going to seminars and trying to figure out what all of this was.
And what is it, Lisa? So when you're talking about the voice or what you heard, or even when you're talking about intuition, can we define it? Can we see it? Can we figure out what it is?
Almost all of the above. So here's the deal. Intuition is a muscle. I believe it was a muscle that was given to us from the time that we are born, just like all the rest of our muscles. And we learn how to use them, right? Little baby suddenly discovers, oh, look, there's my toes, and my muscles will allow me to grab my toes. And the intuitive muscle is available to us at a very early age. That's why little babies stare at the wall and start laughing when nothing is there, because they can see grandma or this or that or whomever. And it's only as we grow up that adults tell us, or the adult world or the quote unquote real world says, well, that doesn't exist. No, you don't have an imaginary friend. No, grandpa's not standing over there. Mm-hmm. And then we let that muscle atrophy. And it sort of stays dormant until we work it again. Right? So everybody has intuition. Everybody has this. I've just been working my muscles since I was, 5 years old, all the way then teenage on up. So yes, everybody can work it, have it, expand it, and use it to our benefit. It's almost like a superpower, right? You don't want to use it for evil. you want to use it for the good and use it for the light.
And there are so many terms that are out there, Lisa, like psychic medium, intuitive reader, clairvoyant. Are they all the same as well?
Some of them are, and I have a big sigh over that because...
Right, I heard that.
It's just trying to define it and is very difficult. I just want to say I'm a human being. that's what I have to say, who's very in touch with her intuitive side. However, all mediums are psychic, not all psychics are mediums. That's the easiest way to do it. Mediums connect with loved ones that have passed on. Psychics don't all do that. So all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are medium. And there are different levels and varying degrees of this. Some people use different forms of divination or divining information. Some just sit and in the energy. Others use cards. Others use tables or whatever it is to pull or divine information. Now, here's the deal. When you are working with the spirit world, whoever you are in front of, it should always be in a place of love and light. It should always be please and thank you, utmost respect. You never demand anything of spirit. Can you imagine if someone just like came to your house, Terry, and just demanded, I need you to talk to me right now. You'd be like,
well, and they do sometimes.
Yeah, they do. But do you know what I mean? It's like, it's the same with the spirit world. We have to remember that. We request, we say please and thank you. And then the really big thing about that is having faith and trust that they are right there assisting you and helping you. That's the hardest part for a lot of people.
Right. But you also said, and I can, see listeners' minds working, that everyone has the ability to use or to tap into that intuition. Mm-hmm. So I'm a listener, I'm out there, I'm listening to us, Lisa. Mm-hmm. How can each of us tap into our intuition?
Okay. A couple of really quick, fun exercises. One, grab the closest card deck you have and a piece of paper. And let's just say you pull 5 cards out of the deck face down. All right. And one at a time, you place your hand on top of the card, or you hold it up to your heart, or you just hold it in general without looking at it. And I want you to let pictures pop into your head. So what color do you think that card is? Is it going to be a black card or red card? And then what what suit is it? What are you feeling off of that? And I always tell people the great thing with intuition is you feel it, you don't think it. So if someone says, I'm feeling something sharp, okay, I'll go diamonds and red, and then figure out, is it a face card or is it a number card? And then for those five cards, you write down your answers for what you are feeling. So remember, this is an exercise, okay? So don't just do it once and go, oh, I didn't get anything right, okay? Because it's no different than you walk into a gym and you don't know how to use the equipment at first, right? It takes some practice. And then the next thing you know, you're like a whiz at all the equipment and you stopped comparing yourself to other people. Like, am I doing it better than that person? So the exercise with the card deck is just really to like get that muscle going. Another thing you can do is, and this is really funny, okay, and I'm going to date myself with this. Please don't laugh, but I still play Plants vs. Zombies, okay? I still play that on my phone. And there's one section in there where you have to choose off of a grid to win these coins or whatever. And so intuitively, I try and look at the grid, which has like about 10 of them on it, and see if I can pick the three that has the coins. And you can do that with anything. It doesn't have to be a video game. You can, on the way to the store, think to yourself, okay, I am going to find a parking spot in the third row about halfway back. And just go with your gut instinct and see if it's there when you get there. There's a lot, Terry, of this that requires people to remember when they were a child. Remember when you'd strap a towel on your back and think you could jump off the roof and be Superman. Okay? You have to have that sense of joy about it and non-judgment.
But you're also saying that these exercises, I don't have to be right every time.
Exactly.
What I'm doing is, like you said, getting the muscles going. And those are those feeling muscles. And, you know, Lisa, so as we get to the topic of love and relationships, when I see clients, I'm always asking them to tune into that gut level feeling, that notion of where are the red flags? What were they feeling when they were talking to this person, and that they didn't recognize it or allow it to exist? Is that what you're saying too?
Amen to that. I love you for telling people to do that.
I do, but they never do, right?
Yeah.
They never do. And it's only like 2 months later that they say, I should have listened to my gut level feeling. Right. But is that what I'm saying? I'm saying tap into your intuition?
Yes. That's exactly what you're doing, because it's pinging on every level. So when spirit communicates to us, or when we're connecting with our intuition, it'll come through our senses, sight, smell, sound, touch, taste, all of that. So when someone's sitting there on a first date, they're paying attention to exactly the way their body feels. Where is the tension being held? Is it in your shoulders, or are your shoulders dropped? Do you have a salty taste in your mouth, a dry taste in your mouth? Well, is it because you're nervous because this is going so bad, or because it's going so good?
Right. Or I had a client the other day tell me that they sat down on a first date and they couldn't stand his voice. Mm. And they kept getting goosebumps and irritated, but they didn't listen to it. And it wasn't until like the fifth date that they said, I can't take it anymore. And I said, you have to listen to your body. You have to listen to what's happening when you're on a date. That's tapping in intuition, right? Into intuition, right?
It absolutely is, because you're using all those senses. You're checking in with them. How am I feeling? And, you know, the hard part becomes when people, like, say it doesn't go well, and then people try and beat themselves up. Oh, see, I didn't do it right. No, it's not that you didn't do it right. You either found something appealing about the person, but eventually, a couple dates in, you figured out, okay, no, that's not going to work for me. So I don't want people to give up on using their intuition when it comes to dating or even marriage.
So how would I use my... So we talked about a little, and you can expand on it. Like, how could you use your intuition for finding love? But is it different in terms of keeping love or a marriage, or when you break up with someone or lose love? How do I use my intuition in all parts of love?
Well, as far as finding it, here's another quick example. So there are times when I am very much engaged in trying to find someone and I think, all right, I'm going to go online because I'm feeling it. I'm feeling like this is exciting to me. I want to do this. Other times I am in a bad zone when it comes to that. And I might want to instead just have it happen more organically or whatever. And I'm going to go out to different events and put myself out there. So as far as finding that goes, those feelings of where am I right now in my journey to finding someone? Because if you're in a nasty attitude, don't go online. That's not going to draw the right person to you.
So tapping into my intuition then is not only tapping into the red flags that I see with someone else, but also within myself is what you're saying.
Yep. When you're not in the right space, then maybe you just need a little time for you right now. You might want someone in your life. I get that. But you don't want this person that's not ready for someone. So take some time for yourself. Once you are in a marriage, you're using your intuition all the time. All the time. You know, they walk through the door, right? After a day of work. So what kind of body language are they showing you right away? Did they say hello right away or didn't they? Read the energy of what's happening. Maybe they might need a little time. Okay. And if you are the same thing about when they come in and you get anxious or you don't want them there, might be time to start thinking about chatting with your significant other there and figure out what issues are going on.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, good. So again, tapping into my own physical energy, but my partner's as well.
Yes, absolutely. And trying to see if a change needs to be made. You know, I'm not giving you any confidences here, but I've had several people that I've done readings for. And the first thing I sit down, it's written all over their face, all over their body, that they are defeated or that something's wrong. And through the process of the reading, it's like, okay, so what do you plan to do about it? I will never tell someone you must get a divorce or you must do this. I'm going to present to them what spirit is telling me. And they sit there and they shake their head and I go, you know all of this, don't you? And they said, yes. And I said, okay, well then take all the information and decide what is going to be best for you in this moment. So really tapping into that to say, how long do I want to stay in this where I'm not feeling well? And there are several options. You know, we got to make sure we got both people who are on board, both people that want to, you know, work on what's going on there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, then maybe something needs to be done about that.
Right. And I always say too, Lisa, that people stay or leave relationships for different reasons, only one of which is if you're happy. So assuming there's no abuse, there's no domestic violence, some people may stay because of children. And that's their decision, not mine as a counselor or as a coach. But, you know, when you were talking about, you know, staying or leaving, it sounds like you're almost a coach. You're presenting information to the person to whom you're reading and allowing them to understand and feel it. Is that right? Or how are you different?
That's what a good reader will do for you. It's not our job to fix your problems. It's our job to read what energy is coming up around you, present you with the information, and allow you to make the appropriate changes.
Right.
That is exactly what goes on.
So you're like a coach. Yeah. Exactly. There's all kinds of terms.
There's more.
Okay, what about losing love? How do I use my intuition? I've just experienced a divorce, a bad breakup.
Here's a, this is how I knew my divorce was going to happen. I had a dream. And in my dream, my then husband came through with a mask on and would not look at me or talk to me. And I kept saying in the dream, who are you? Who are you? And so sometimes our dreams will sort of ping us in the middle of the night to give us some information about what's going on. And it was true. He was hiding behind a mask. I didn't know really who he was or what was going on. Afterwards, your intuition might tell you that it, and I don't want to call it the intuition, because this is the side of us, the hurt side of us comes through a lot once, you know, the end of a relationship happens. Mm-hmm. Your intuition, you might not want to listen to, because your intuition might tell you to stay at home or to just relax. And then the other side of you, the little ego side that got hurt, is going to go, no, I need to go out and I need to know that I'm beautiful and have men tell me I'm gorgeous. And, you know, whatever the case may be, your intuition will tell you to sit quietly and allow yourself to heal. The other mm-hmm. side is going to tell you to get out and start feeding the ego self that needs that. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. But then I've got two competing intuitions, it sounds like. One that's telling me to go out and, you know,
oh, that's ego self, though. That's ego self.
Okay. So yeah. The intuition self is different from the ego self.
Yes. Yes. In my personal understanding of it, yes.
So let's go back to dreams, because sure. I like talking about dreams for a second. Mm-hmm. And I know listeners are saying, should I listen to all of my dreams? Do I find meaning in all of my dreams? Do I let some of them go? And what if I don't dream?
Yeah, you let some of them go. Here's the easiest thing. When you wake up and you are having a physical reaction to one of your dreams, one of the best things to do is just figure out what was predominant in the dream. So mm-hmm. for my dream about my ex-husband, it was a mask. He was wearing a mask. Masks do what? Masks hide people. They hide what's really there. They cover up. So that was how I interpreted what was going on, was by focusing on that one thing, because there was a whole other thing that was going on in that dream having to do with Braveheart and a bunch of other stuff. But so you have to really, because he took off the mask and he had Braveheart makeup on. Yeah, it was crazy. So you have to sort of stop and think, what is the one thing and how did I feel when I woke up? I was panicked when I woke up, because I could tell he wasn't who he said he was. So you have to just find that one thing that's standing out in the dream. Dreams don't always, you don't have to, I didn't go to him and say, why were you wearing a Braveheart mask or whatever? I to myself, reviewed what happened in that dream and what I could take from it.
Right. And you might say to yourself, if a listener is having the same kind of dream or a similar dream with a similar theme, you know, what does this mean? Should I go talk to my partner? Are there things that I really don't know about my partner that might be really important to understand and know?
Exactly. That's exactly what you should do. And if you're curious about what symbols mean, there's all kinds of dream dictionaries and things like that, even online, that you can look up a symbol and see their interpretation of it. Again, it's an interpretation. You can see how that matches with your interpretation of what you felt when you woke up.
And what I hear you saying, Lisa, the big theme is to really just listen to ourselves. Be confident in what you're feeling. Don't dismiss it.
Be confident and be kind to yourself. When
okay,
you are
confident and kind.
Please, because you are literally learning another language. So especially when it's connecting to your intuition or connecting to spirit, it's like you guys went into a Spanish class together and now you're trying to learn Spanish. Well, you're not going to be mad at yourself if you're in a Spanish class and you can't speak the language fluently.
Right.
So when it comes to this intuition, remember, treat it a little bit like that. Be kind and compassionate and courageous even in using your intuition.
And give it time
yes.
as well. Now, we only have a few minutes left. Tell us about your workshops, because these are fascinating.
Oh, I love it. This is my Intuitive View Expansion Workshop. And it really helps people to do some of the exercises that I'm talking about and sort of get that muscle going. It's done in an air of a lot of fun, because spirit loves to laugh. I mean, that raises the energy, right? Raises our vibration, which allows us more energy to tap into our intuition. I do have one coming up on September 22nd. Unfortunately, right now it's in Michigan, but I have another one coming up in Ohio and one in Florida. You can reach me at intuitiveview.net if you're interested in setting up an appointment as well, a one-on-one. They are out in February right now, but you know, you can snag one.
You are busy.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. A little bit busy.
I love it. And these are full day workshops, by the way.
They are 3-hour workshops. We have a couple breaks in there, and you do everything from psychometry, which is about being able to read energy off of an object that belongs to another person. So you'll be surprised at how much information you can get with somebody you don't even know. And again, that's you in the classroom using the intuition, using that muscle.
Well, I know that you and I have talked a lot about these workshops and your readings. And as a scientist, I love what you're saying. And I always try to tap into my intuition to really get a sense of what I'm feeling. So even science-based listeners, even empirical listeners, can understand the importance of intuition, especially when it comes to love. Thank you so much for joining me, Lisa. I love your energy and always love talking to you.
Thank you, Terry, and thanks everyone for listening.
And again, listeners, if you want more information about Lisa Jeswin, her readings, her workshops, or her Empower Radio program, go to intuitiveyou.net. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.